Hey, we'll be tonight in the book of Acts. Stand when you find that, chapter 13, Acts chapter 13. Thank you for that song, Brother Levi. Excellent. I do want to say before we get into the message that the amount that has been given towards the Home Missions Conference in Oklahoma City is right around $1,500. And so that's a significant amount. We look forward to taking that amount, and hopefully there'll be some more that'll come in the weeks to come before we head off to the missions conference. But that'll be a great blessing to be able to give those funds to the church planners, starting churches all over America. And then we'll keep track, Brother Joe, we'll keep track of all the money that's given away, and then we'll give report when we get home to let you know about the churches we were able to help. So we'll look forward to that. Okay, Acts chapter number 13. Let's begin reading in verse number 38. And we'll read to verse 41. Acts 13. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. By the way, that is really the pinnacle, the climax of the gospel, forgiveness of sins. And this is Paul delivering a message in the synagogue. And he's saying things that probably these Jews had never heard before. Much like the message of Jesus himself as he's preaching the Sermon on the Mount to all those Jews in Jerusalem, and they'd never heard the things that he'd said. In fact, they said that, you know, we'd never heard anything like this. Well, that's what Paul's doing here. He's preaching to them the gospel and the forgiveness of sins. And then verse number 39, he says, and by him all that believe are justified from all things, so forgiven of all of our sins, past, present, future. And then he said this, from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Why would he say that? Because that's how they were trying to justify themselves. They were trying to receive grace by works, and you can't receive grace by works. It's a gift. Now verse 40. This is the warning. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Well, what was that? Behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish. Now look what he says. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. Can I tell you this evening that God's working a work? Amen. Sometimes we just don't see it. But he's doing it. So let's pray and we'll talk about that. Father, we pray your blessings tonight. We need you. Without you, we can do nothing. Well, certainly we can fail. We can sin. But God, we can't find peace. We can't find blessing or grace or mercy. Lord, we need you. And so we pray for your help tonight. I pray you to empty me of self, convict me, help me to be filled with conviction. I pray that your people tonight would be, as Jesus said, spirit-filled hearers, cultivated soil, that as the word is spread like seed, it would fall on a ground that is ready to receive it, and that it might change their life, change our hearts, God. We need you to do that in us. So we pray for your help and for courage and for strength and for enlightenment and for wisdom. I pray for clarity. Lord, I pray for those that are struggling tonight with just being tired. I pray you'd wake us. Lord, guide us in your path. Lord, we love you in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. Now, I'm a terrible cook. And, I mean, I just struggle. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a second. My wife, on the other hand, she's a good cook. And, and Miss Kim's a good cook. Yeah, she's like, what? And anything I've ever had that Miss Kim made, it's like my wife. It's amazing. And I say that to them. I'm like, this is amazing. You're a great cook. And then they always say the same thing. Well, I just follow the recipe. I'm like, okay. You know, that's what humble cooks say. But in the end, I have trouble following the recipe and making it taste like what they make it taste like. So I think there's something to it. There's some skill, there's some ability that's associated to this process, and I think maybe a special touch, and I just don't have that. I tried to make brownies once. I said this once in a Sunday school class, but it needs to be said again. I tried to make brownies. I'm going to emphasize the word tried, all caps. Tried to make brownies one time. Family's gone. I'm like, I'm going to make some brownies for the family. Everybody's going to love this. I'm going to be like a champion in the home. And so I read the instructions, you know, as simple as you think it would be to make brownies. You know, good thing there's pictures on there because that really helps me. So you put, you know, we have a KitchenAid, which helps too. So we just dump all of it in this bowl, you know, dump the batter in there and the oil and, you know, the other things I can't remember. One of the things that was needed was 2 eggs. And I get everything dumped in the bowl, everything. And then I'm like, okay, let me grab some eggs. Go to the fridge, no eggs. I'm like, oh man, I already started the process. The package is open. The oil is in. I can't remember. There were some other things. Maybe milk. I don't know. That's why I'm not. Don't ask me to cook something for you, okay? So I got everything in there, but there's no eggs. But then I noticed in the door of the refrigerator that there was some liquid eggs. Well, that's just as good as eggs, you know? And so I opened it up, and I poured some into the thing. That's about one egg. Poured some more in there. That looks like about 2 eggs. And started the KitchenAid. And it started to smell like brownie mix, but something else. And I don't know, I couldn't put my finger on it, but, you know, I didn't think too much about it. Poured it into the bowl, which you got to grease that bowl a little bit on the bottom. Not the bowl, but the thing you cook it in. And pour the brownie mix in there. And while I'm pouring it in, it didn't seem like it looked right, but I'm not a cook, so I'm just going with it. And so I get everything ready, preheat the oven according to the instructions. Reading the instructions, by the way. Looking at the pictures, reading the instructions, trying to follow it to a T. Put it in the oven, and the process of baking begins. And I'm smelling brownies after a while. And something else. It's like a mixture of brownies and something. And I couldn't put my finger on the other thing that I was smelling. And the dinger went off. And I saw my wife do this once. You put a toothpick in there to see. I don't even actually know why we put the toothpick in there, but I did it. And so it's good to go, I think. So I pull it out and put it on the top of the stovetop and just let it rest. And that's right? We're letting it rest and calm down for a little bit. And I leave, and Melissa comes home, and the boys come home, and they come into the house. And I announce, I made brownies for everybody. Dad made brownies. Okay, guys, this is so exciting. Dad made some brownies. And we're going to go into the kitchen, and we're going to cut them. And we get the spatula, and we pull one of the brownies out, and we put it on a plate, and something doesn't seem right about it. And we take a big bite of it, and the eggs that I used had peppers and onions and garlic in it. That liquid eggs. Why would you make liquid eggs with all that stuff in there? Number one. And number two, why would we have that in our refrigerator? So, needless to say, the brownies didn't go well, you know. I followed the recipe, by the way, and still didn't turn out well. I mean, I missed it with the peppers and things, but then you go to Thanksgiving meal that we had. Remember that? Which I didn't make any of it, so you're safe. But Brother Joe made those turkeys. He smoked those. I only have one word for that. You have to look at me, though. You ready? Chef kiss. Amen. Amazing. The guy needs a round of applause. We won't do it right now, but Brother Bob almost stood up right then. I mean, that touched him right there. Here's what God is wanting us to know tonight. He's the master chef. He knows all the recipe for your life. He knows the plan. He knows all the ingredients. He knows how all of it goes together. He knows how to mix it together to make something that's going to be amazing. He knows all of the process. He knows how to sprinkle in this. He knows how to sprinkle in that. He knows how to put us through things Like, you know, what are those deals that you put flour in and then you go like this and then it comes out the bottom? A sifter. Thank you. God knows how to put you into the sifter and just grind things so that he can make you ready for part of the recipe for your life. And all the things that God does, listen, and all the things he allows us to go through, and all the things that he's wanting to work in our life, it's not like we see or experience those things and understand all of it. I'm like, well, how does this work in the in this process? And if you're a cook, and I'm not, but you see some of the ingredients that go into some of the things that we eat, I wonder, why is this going into it? And our life is like that. And God adds things to our life and mixes things into our life because he knows where it's going to take us. He knows what he's wanting to make in our life. Amen. But here's the problem that we run into. And give attention to this. This is a problem we run into. There are times when we add our own ingredients. We don't just trust the plan of God, trust the recipe that God has for our life, and we want to put our own little additives to things. Well, you know, I know God said the ingredient is this, two eggs, but I'm just going to go with the liquid eggs. And so we add our own things to what God is wanting to do in our life. And when we do that, we mess up the recipe. We mess up the plan that God has for us. And that's what God wants his people to see here. Listen, Paul is preaching a message to the Jews. And as he's preaching it, he gave them everything they needed, all of the recipe to bring them to the place where they could receive and have God leading their life and guiding their life and bringing them to the place, not just where God wants them to be, but if they experienced it, then they would say, well, that's where I want to be too. And any of you who would let God guide your life, when you get to the place where God's leading you to be, that's where you want to be anyway. You would want it. So Paul's preaching to these Jews and he's telling them the message. He's equipping them with everything they need to know. And then he's giving them a warning to tell them if they don't follow God's recipe, then it's going to lead them to a kind of destruction in their life. And he gives them the word to start off this whole warning that you and I need to see as well. Look at verse number 40. It's the first word. Say it together with me. Beware. Beware. God tells us to beware. He wants us to be cautious. He wants us to be slow to alter or to change from the plan of God. Look what he said next in verse 40. He said, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Now, whenever he speaks of the prophets, he's talking about the message of the prophets in the Old Testament. And we've been studying a prophet in the Old Testament in Hosea on Wednesday night, so we can relate to this. The prophet is telling the Jews the Hebrews to beware a lot, the nation of Israel. Beware, beware the choices that you've made, the path that you're on, the denial of God's working in your life, the denial of following God and aligning yourself with foreign alliances and the gods of this world. Aligning yourself with that is going to bring you to destruction. And that's what he's talking about here. He's talking about despisers, verse 41. Despisers. He's talking about those who hear the message and are despising the working of God in their life. They're not letting God tell them the recipe and following the recipe that God has for them. And the message of the prophet is beware. Beware following your own instructions. Beware following your own heart. God is saying, let me guide you, because despisers have something else to be mindful of. And the second thing in verse number 41, he says, and wonder. You know, because then he says, you're going to perish. There's going to be destruction that's going to come. But that word wonder caused me to pause. And I wondered, like, what is the word wonder here referencing? Well, he's talking about the prophet's message to beware, rejecting the message of God and the leadership of God in their life. And the destruction that will come. But the word wonder, I think, is what these Hebrews, or the nation of Israel, and you and I, as a matter of fact, anybody who rejects the message of God, the leadership of God, that you will come to a day where you will look at where you are, the consequences of your choice, and it will be surprising to you. You'll be surprised. You'll be in wonder. Not a good kind of wonder, but the kind of wonder that Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 7. you know, that many in that day will say unto me, Lord, Lord, have I not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? We're talking about those that rejected the leadership of God and thought that they could do so and have blessings and success, and then they'll be judged. And when those consequences come, they'll be surprised there. I think that's what he's referencing in verse number 41. Despisers and wonder and perish. And so there are those that will hear the message of God and then they won't listen to the message of God. Well, that's true for us today. That's true for you and me. So that we hear the message of God. And God's wanting to work His miracles in our life. He's wanting to show us the path. He's wanting to guide us. And so when we hear the message and the Spirit of God speaks to us, He's leading, He's giving us the recipe. He's giving us the ingredients, part of the recipe to lead us to the blessing and you know, the final destination where He's wanting us to be. And just like it's true for Israel, when a prophet would preach that the nation would despise the message, that's true for you and me. It can be. So that we hear the message and God's wanting to work in our life and we hear His voice, but then we don't listen to it. We despise it in that sense. And so the warning is, when he said beware, the warning is the same as the despisers of Israel who would eventually perish. Look what he said next. He said, for I work a work in your days. I work a work. This was an interesting phrase. I paused right there and I just needed to understand this. So when Paul says to the Jews in the synagogue that God is telling them that He's working a work in them, what is he saying? Well, there's two, this is where it gets interesting. The first word work in that verse is not the same Greek word as the second word for work here. So it says, watch, God says, I work a work. That first Greek word is not the same as the second one. I'm going to give you both. It'll help us understand what God's saying. First of all, the first word for work here is ergazima. It's the Greek word ergazima. It just means to work, like to labor. So God is saying, I'm working, I'm laboring in your life. That's what God does every Sunday. That's what God's doing in your life tonight. That's what God's doing when you open your Bible every day and you read. And when you go to your knees and you ask God to touch you and to help you and to open up your heart so that you can know what He wants. It's the work of God. It's God not giving up on you. It's the touch of God. It's the prick of God. That's the work. God's saying, I'm working. You know what's amazing about that? Is God never stops working. He's always working. He has a work that He's doing, and He never stops. So He's constantly working in you. I was just visiting with someone the other day about the work of God. And he was mentioning to me that he believes that the Lord is leading in his life to become a member of Western Hills Baptist Church. And I said, amen to that. Amen. And so soon, God willing, Brother Ian, as a matter of fact, next Sunday, he's not here tonight, but Brother Ian is going to join the church next Sunday. And he wants to share testimony to the church about his salvation, and I look forward to it. I very much, and I think you should look forward to it too. That'll be next Sunday morning. So we're talking, and I guess I'm going to give you a snippet of his testimony. I'll try not to go in too many details because I'll save that for him. But he got saved when he was 9 years old. And his testimony was a sweet testimony. But as a teenager, he got away from God and he got out of church. And as a young adult, he got further away from God. And then he got into a career and became successful so that God was in the rearview mirror quite a bit. And he started to find success in the world. And with that success, do you know what he also found on the other side of it? Emptiness. Amen. Emptiness. And but there was something in him that never stopped working. Amen. The Spirit of God. Amen. To say, you'll never find anything in this world that'll satisfy you. Amen. Because you need me in your life. And that compelling, listen, the compelling work of God brought him back to church. He just knew in him that he needed to be here. No one invited him. He was just driving by and he said, I need to go to the church and I think God wants me to try that one. And so he came. God was working. Here's the point, church family. God never stops working. He's working in us. He's wanting to guide us every step, and God's working in your life. So that's the first word, ergodzema. It just means to work. The second word, it's the Greek word ergon, and it means a finished work. A finished work. Ooh. This is where it got exciting for me, Brother Larry. You know what God is saying here? I'm working a work in your life, and I'm never going to stop. You know why? Because I'm leading you somewhere. I'm leading you to a place where, like God would say, a finished work. So in other words, God has ingredients for your life. The work of God, this ingredient, and this ingredient, and this mixture, and this heat, and this part of the oven, and this oil, and each and every one of these works of God is God leading you to a finished work. Something that He's doing in your life. Something that He wants to do in your life. God is working in your life with a purpose. Oh man, this is so incredible. It should give us peace tonight. But you know, it doesn't sometimes. Let me take a sip and I'll tell you why. You can know that it's true that God's working. You can know it's true that God has a plan and He's working in your life to bring you to a place. Matter of fact, we talk about this pretty regularly, this concept that we're referencing tonight. But here's where I think we struggle. We struggle because when God allows us to go through things and experience things, we don't see how what God is allowing in our life is bringing us to where He wants us to be. We understand the concept, and we would say amen to it. We would agree with it, that God's working a work. He's working to bring us to a finished work in our life. But when we're going through it, depending on what it is, we wonder, why is God doing this? And the reason why we wonder why God is doing this and He allowed this and He's allowing this and we don't have this peace and we're having this struggle and we're having these disruptions in our life or whatever it is, and it's clear that we love God and we're trying to be faithful and we're trying to do what He wants us to do and we received Him and we want to follow Him and we want Him to guide our life. But we don't see how this is bringing us to that. We can't see it. And that's why He said what He said in the last part of verse 41. Take a look at it. It says, for I work a work in your days. Now look what He said. A work which ye shall in no wise believe. Though a man declare it unto you. Though a pastor at Western Hills Baptist Church is telling you that God is working in your life and some of the things you're struggling with, God's using, He's wanting to use those things in your life because He has somewhere He's taking you and somewhere He wants you to be. And when you're in the process of going through it, you can't see it. And so we struggle. We struggle believing. Though a man's declaring it to you, he's trying to tell you, God's working. I'm like, oh, I'm so tired of hearing that God's working. You know? Well, I wish God would work a little bit differently or a little bit faster. You know? No. We can't wish for that. Because God knows all of the ingredients. And He knows how they work together. He knows how the... Did you know, and you know this, this is all new for me, that there are, when you're making something, there are ingredients you have to mix separately before you mix them together. That I don't understand that. I'm just like, just put it in a big bowl and mix it. No. You know? No, no, no. You have to mix this and this first and put it in the fridge for 24 hours. What? And then you have to mix this, and then you have to sprinkle this in. And there's a very, you know, specific process that goes. That's how God's doing in your life.
Yeah, that's right.
And you have to let him do his work. He's working this, he's working this, and now he's going to put you in the fridge. He's going to leave you there for a while. Hey, it's cold in here. And now he's going to put these, he's going to sprinkle some of this in and then sprinkle a little bit of that in. And he's going to bring this out of the fridge and he's going to put it together. And then he's going to put you in the oven. And you're going to wonder, why is all this happening? But God knows the recipe. God knows the process. He knows all about it, but we don't. We don't see the finished product. We don't see the process. Sometimes we just see what we're going through. And we don't see how God is working in that. So here's what we do. Because we don't understand, we disrupt it. God's wanting to do a work, and instead of letting God do his work and having faith and just letting him fill us with joy, even though we don't understand, we're right where he wants us to be. We're doing what he wants us to do, and he can fill us with joy. Instead of letting him do his work, we put our own finger on things. We put our own little twist on things. We let our, you know, our own desires or our own, you know, thinking disrupt the work of God. And so because of that, it just sort of messes up the recipe. And this is the warning. This is where I think Paul is saying, beware. It's almost like when my wife is in the kitchen and the boys are just hovering. And she's like, you need to get out of here. You're in the way. It's like God is saying that to us. You're hovering around and you're getting in the way and you're messing up the process. You just need to get yourself out of the way and let me do my work. He's doing a special work. You know, art is like this. Art. My grandma painted a beautiful picture. It's in my office. And if you haven't seen it, I encourage you to go look at it. My grandma, Carrie Moore, she put her name on there. You know, when you do, I'm not an artist like this, but I think I understand it well enough with the graphics work that I do, that art is in layers. And, you know, if you think that art is just like stick it all in the bowl and then you're ready to go, art isn't like that. You have to start in layers. And you have to understand how the first layer will affect the second layer and the third layer until you build the picture out. And whenever when an artist has all the right combinations, when it's completed, it's beautiful. And sometimes it's breathtaking. Music's like that. When you hear somebody play the music, it's in layers. There's layers to music. And the better you understand how those layers work together, then you can put something together that's precise and it's beautiful. And sometimes it's breathtaking. Here's what God's saying. I want to arrange things in your life so that I can make something beautiful. I want to arrange things in your life, if you'll let me, so that in your life it'll be breathtaking. The work of God in us. He's working. But here's what we need to understand. That God is working a work. And you might not understand why something is happening. You might not understand why he's letting you go through things. But sometimes he's wanting to build us up. And sometimes to build us up, he needs to break us down. And we need to let him do his work in us. And that's the encouragement tonight from his word. That we would trust his work. We would trust where in our life he is allowing us to experience things and where he is allowing us to, or he's wanting us to be affected by things, and how all those things work together. God wants us to trust him in the whole process and not get ourselves involved with the process, but let him do his work. And if you would just do that tonight, if you would just let God work, let God do his work and trust him in all the things that he's doing in your life. Trust him in every step of the process. Say, well, I don't understand it, but trust him. Are you where he wants you to be? Yes. Are you doing what he wants you to do? Yes. Then keep taking steps of obedience. Keep being where he wants you to be. Keep doing what he wants you to do. And let him build and put things together and mix things together so that in the end, he's going to make something beautiful. He's going to make something that is breathtaking. He's going to make something that is, as we would say, is amazing. He wants to do that in your life. But you have to trust him where you are. You have to trust him in every dynamic of your life. You say, oh, Pastor, I want to do that. I really want to do that. But I'm really struggling with a couple of things. Let's go to our knees tonight. And let's ask a couple of important questions. If you're really struggling with with some things, you might not be struggling with this. Listen, you might not be struggling with the process that God is doing in your life right now, but some of us might be. Like I'm really struggling with, why is this the way it is now in my life? Why is God allowing me to go through this? Whether it's a health thing or a change in your life, a change that you didn't want. And you're really battling with it. Let me encourage you to go to your knees tonight and ask God a few questions. Number one, ask God this question. God, am I where you want me to be? Would you be willing to do that? I mean, with an open heart. You don't have to be nervous to ask God if you're where he wants you to be. Just ask him. Just come to your knees, wherever you are, and say, Lord, I have this struggle in my life right now. I don't understand it. I think that it's an ingredient in my life that you want to use. But I want to ask you this. Am I where you want me to be? What do you mean by that? Well, I mean, you could say, am I where you want me to be in Arizona? Am I where you want me to be at Western Hills Baptist Church? Am I where you want me to be in the job that I have? Am I where you want me to be in the things that I'm involving myself with? Whatever, you know, wherever you are in your life, ask the Lord that. Am I where you want me to be? You know, if you're not where he wants you to be, he'll reveal that to you. And it could be that some of the things that we're struggling with are related to us not being where God wants us to be and involved with the things that God wants us to be involved with. So let's start there. And number two, then ask God this question. God, am I doing what you want me to do? And if you can say, one, look up here. If you can say that you're where God wants you to be, and you're as best you can tell, you're doing what God wants you to do, and you're going through these challenges, then you need to trust the Lord that he's using those things as part of a bigger recipe to make something beautiful in your life. And you can trust him for that. And that's what Paul is saying here. I'm going to read the scripture and then we'll be done. Look at verse 40. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wander and perish. And then he said this, for I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. Trust that the Lord's working a work, and that if you're where he wants you to be, and you're doing what he wants you to do, that you will not fit into the context of the last part when he says that there will be those who will not believe, but that you'll decide tonight that you'll believe, you'll trust him. You'll trust him for everything that he's doing, everything he's allowing, all the things that are going on in your life, the challenges that you're feeling, that God knows how he's working those things in your life and how he's working through those things to do a work, a finished work in your life. Let's trust Him with that tonight. And if you're not there, you will be. You'll be to the place where you wondered. You wonder, why is this the way it is? Lord, I don't fully understand it, but I trust You. I trust You, and we're just going to keep on going. And you'll be glad. He'll reveal it to you. You'll see.